like to take the opportunity also to form of my co-author, Professor Lars Bergström, who's sitting with us here. We have compiled some highlights about organic farming, and actually the reason is that this talk that I will give is presenting something of what we will be able to buy hopefully next year. We are preparing a book, and the reason of the book is to give an objective view on organic farming. So you can see from the title, it's not only saying achievements or the goals or the potential of organic farming, it is a little bit of a critical view. And so I will take you through a couple of subjects which are part of the book. The four that are marked here are the ones that are part of the book, whereas these ones are also part of the book, but which we don't deal with in this session because we have only 15 minutes. So it's the yields, it's nitrate leaching, it's carbon sequestration and energy efficiency. So it's a quite a confusing table, but to make it easy, this shows you crop yields which we've compiled from long-term experiments where you in Europe, from Norway, Switzerland, from a lot of Swedish examples, and these experiments are divided into those ones that investigate mixed system animals and crops and those ones that are pure crop systems. Now, without going into all the details of the figures, they've run different years, some 18 years, some 8 years, the Swiss one 24 years, so there are quite a different time series, but we have expressed the yield decrease that we gain in organic farming as a percentage, and if you look at these figures and you make an average, you roughly come up to 25%. So if you go over and convert to organic farming with animals, you get a yield decrease roughly about 25% as compared to conventional farming. If you don't use any animal manure because you're driving it from a pure crop system without manure, then yield decreases are much higher, and we have an average about 50%. Now, this is a European perspective. I think it's very important to say that the literature can give you quite different values, and they can be as high in organic, the yields can be as high in organic farming as in conventional, but I will come back to that, why these studies are not relevant in this comparison. Now, to show you another kind of statistics, these are yield levels from Sweden, national statistics which compile all organic farming, and they roughly give you the same picture, but this is a mixture of both animal and non-animal systems. But the crops that are legume crops have the smallest differences in yield, but when you have non-legume crops, then the differences are significantly higher. So here we get yield decrease about 60-70%, whereas here there may be only 10 or 5-10%, which is quite understandable. Now, we talk about yield decreases as if it is a fact and we don't care about it many times, but some people often point out what is the consequence of that, and we want to show you that yield decreases that are higher than 3 or 5 or 10% actually mean something different than just a little significant percentage, because you have to think about the aerial demand. So the boundary conditions when you compare conventional organic systems need to be different if the yield differences are as high. So here are the summaries. If you have 1 hectare of conventional with a yield that would amount 100%, then you need double the area if you have a pure cropping system organically. And if you have a mixed system, you need a third more of the area. So the idea behind is that we need to have gain the same amount of food. I mean, if you crop only this area, converting this, you don't get the same amount of food. So you need more land to use the same amount of food. This is one of the boundary conditions. But if you go on with that and think what that means, then you can think the other boundary condition. If you now need that more area for agriculture, you could think of what else could you do with that area, and then you can come up with a picture like this, that if I do organic farming, then I should think of the extra area, what I could do with it. I could use it for biofuel production, or I could remain it as a forest, which needs to be cleared, because I can use this land for something else. So this, I think, is very important when we compare systems, and I will give you examples later on, but I just want to show you this principle picture, that you need to think in terms of aerial demand when you compare systems that have lower yields, significantly lower yields. Now, the question is, which is seldom addressed, but which we just roughly want to go through, is why are yields lower in organic farming? And there are different reasons. One of the main reasons is that the nutrient use efficiency is normally lower. And you can make nutrient use efficiency comparisons on the short term, but this is on a long-term basis. It's over 18 years. There's a study recently published in the Agronomy Journal where we looked at the nitrogen use efficiency, and you can see it's only half of it for the organic treatment. And the reason is simply that the release of nutrients from the organic manures is not very well timed and synchronized with the demand, so you get a low efficiency. Concerning the phosphorus, the sources of phosphorus normally used in organic farming can vary, but you can't use soluble phosphate, so you use apatite or you use slags. In this case, they had used a lot of apatite or raw phosphate, and if you make this comparison, it's very much low efficiency, which is well known. But even if you exclude this star, just show if you exclude the addition of apatite in the efficiency calculation, it is much lower. Well, concerning potassium, there was potassium import in the organic system in highly soluble forms, and then you found no differences. Now another reason which seldom is mentioned is weeds. We have problems with weeds in organic agriculture, and this is an interesting study because it goes over 18 years, and weeds were recorded every year, not in the years when we had forage crops and these lacking values, but this is the curve showing you the weeds over the years, and you can see you have certain years, especially when you have other legumes in the systems, like beans or peas, you can get values up to 3 tons of dry matter or weed biomass. And we thought, oh, this is something that is extraordinary for our system, and we have never seen such high weed levels recorded from organic agriculture. But then I got this picture from a colleague from Australia, and she hadn't published it, but she compared also weeds and yields in organic system and conventional system, and she had also these staples which were some years higher actually than the yield. So it seems to be a problem that is existing, and that means of course that we have competition between the main crop and the weed, and that will decrease yields. Now the main factor that we could analyze as the yield limiting factor was actually the nutrient input in form of nitrogen. I mean, we can buy in organic system many times, this is the same study, the 18 years Swedish study, we can buy a lot of minerals even in organic farm, but it's difficult to buy nitrogen other than imported from conventional farming in form of compost or manure. But if we rely on nitrogen fixation to have a sustainable system, then the input of nitrogen actually is, as a rule, lower, and we identify due to these concentration values that it's it's higher in the conventional crops, this is low, but the concentrations of the other elements are actually higher in the organic system, indicating that, that the nitrogen is the limiting element for yields in most organic systems. Now, going over to another aspect, and that is nitrate leaching, I don't want to go through many aspects of that, but I'll just show a recent compilation of studies. These are also two Swedish long-term studies. They are real field studies, not lysimeter studies. And if we deal with sandy soils, if we only look at these figures, this is leaching, we normally see higher leaching from the organic system than from the conventional. But we have systems, this is an clay soil, where there are no significant differences. And so people may sometimes say, oh, organic farming leaches less nitrogen. And now I would remind you on these boundary conditions. We took those figures, 11 kilograms versus 13 kilograms. We had half the yield in the organic production. So if we now make the comparison, we have to double the area to get the same amount of food. That will be 22 kilograms. In this case, we have to add an area that we don't use for agriculture, for instance for willow forest, which we use as energy fuels, and those are permanent grass-rooted systems, or rooted systems, and they have 3 kilograms of leaching. So this comparison is much more relevant than the 11 and the 13, because now you look at it on the aerial basis for the same amount of food, and we take into account these boundary conditions. So another question is organic farming and carbon sequestration. Just our hypothesis is that organic farming leads to lower yields and thereby to lower C input. Secondly, we think lower yields mean less water uptake, more moist in the soil, higher decomposition. And the third hypothesis, more frequent soil cultivation for weeding means higher decomposition. So our main hypothesis is you can't sequester more organic carbon with organic farming. Now, going back to these studies on long-term experiments from other people, the Norwegian one, the Switzerland one, it's hard to find data compiled. You go into different sources that are published different years. But you can see this study clearly corroborates our hypothesis that the conventional one is increasing, the organic one is decreasing if you compare the same systems. Now the Swiss is indicating almost the same, but the conventional, or in this case, all carbon levels are decreasing. They start at a higher level with the years, both the organic systems and the conventional decrease, but then it's just because you're on a downwards trend. But it seems that the biodynamic is better than the conventional one, at least as good. And now, reading the studies very carefully, you can recognize they need to use compost, and the amount of compost used at least the first 10 or 12 years were much higher than produced by the system, so they applied actually more manure to this system than to these and this, and then it's not so strange that you get better carbon content. So this brings me to a very central aspect that differs between organic farming in Europe and in the USA. In Europe, we look at organic farming as a self-sustaining system, which has a nice recirculation of the manure, and it's all very nicely in a system that exists as an individual unit. But then farmers are allowed to buy animal manures or fodder or straw or seeds from conventional ones. But when we look in the US in the literature, and that is what you need to be really careful about, you can see that if you have comparative studies on farms, you always see that these people, they have bought a lot of manure, importing it to this system, and then say, okay, the conventional one, the organic one has higher carbon content, but the reason is that you have imported stuff from outside the system. So in the European studies that I had, we had these aspect excluded. Now this is a an aspect where we modeled the carbon, the organic carbon over the time in the Swedish cereals for the whole country. It's my colleagues who did that, and we have in Sweden today 20% of the area being organically farmed. It's a political aim. We've almost reached it. We are, I think, about 17 or 18% today. But if we do that for the next 30 years, we will lose almost 10% of our carbon stocks in the soil due to the reason that I showed you earlier. Now we'll come to the last aspect, which is also associated with a lot of pitfalls. And if you go into the literature, you find normally a unit used that is energy use or energy price, how much you use to produce a unit of grain. And you find that there are less energy required for the organic one than the conventional one. The reason is simple. You don't put in inorganic nitrogen in this system, which is a large portion of it. So you can say the organic ones are more energy efficient. But again, I think it's a wrong conclusion that you draw from it. A colleague of us, who is now retired, he showed us if you make this comparison and take it to African agriculture, then if we all go over to animal-powered, man-powered agriculture, we actually get a more energy-efficient system, but you don't take into account the yield. So, of course, you can make very energy-efficient if you take away tractors and you make everything by hand, but then you recognize that this figure doesn't take into account the amount that you really yield. And doing that, you need to go one step on, and that is what I tried to make with all these boundary codes. This is a complicated picture, but just showing you that the input of energy in the conventional one and the output, if you have an organic system yielding these amount and you need to get the same here, you have to have this area, you get the same amount out, 110, but if you then think of the area that is not used for agriculture, you can use it for biofuel crops or whatever, you get a surplus of energy, net surplus of energy that is much more than from this system. So if you take into account the boundary condition that I've talked about before, the aerial demand and the same amount of food that you want to produce, you come up with quite a different story. So I hope these highlights can be summarized in these points. We think that lower yields require more land, nitrogen leaching will increase per product, soil carbon stocks will decrease, and net energy production is a much more valuable way to calculate the energy in agriculture than the energy use. So I hope this short highlighting will open up your critical eyes when you come up with literature on organic farming, because this will hopefully strengthen you to make your voice heard and say, stop a moment, we need to look at the science and the detail. Thank you for your attention.